Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for joining us. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
And Marilyn, you're here also?
Our special guest.
Okay. Now, Mary, where are we going to go with
this? We're going to start out with Pat, who's got some information on the North Carolina Board of Elections.
Makes me nervous when I see North Carolina and its elections in national news.
Yes.
And this morning, there was an article on AmericanThinker.com entitled North Carolina's Undemocratic Election Board. And we've been reading some controversy about the election board down here in our local press because they were dragging their feet, approving access to the ballot.
For a third party.
For third parties, yeah. So what was it? Justice for All Party and the We the People Party. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know which one's which. One is Cornel West, who, by the way, is the guy that created Kwanzaa.
Yes.
And the other one, I think, is the Hippy Dippy Lady.
Oh, yes. I can't.
Madeline Williamson. Something like that.
Something that's close.
She's been here before, yes.
She's crunchy.
Which party is Kennedy under?
Independent.
Okay.
He's running as...
They wouldn't let him on the ballot either, would they?
Initially, but he's on the ballot.
Confident. He's got the required number of registrants.
Well, so did those two parties.
Yes, but...
That's different.
We're going to fight it because they may take votes away from somebody that they prefer.
Oh, you mean playing politics?
Oh, well, wouldn't it?
Well, I think that's where Pat's going.
Democrats playing politics?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. Such a shock. Let me get my breath.
Let's round up the, what is it,
the usual suspects.
The usual suspects, yes. Okay.
I wish you could see Glenn's shocked face.
Okay. The Heritage Foundation, which is conservative, ranks all 50 states in terms of their election integrity standards, and their report card for North Carolina is a dismal 70%, placing it 18th out of 50. Says North Carolina did well on ID implementation, finally, vote harvesting, trafficking restrictions, machine vote counting, and access of election observers. It did poorly on voter registration lists, voter assistance to others, handling of absentee ballots, verification of citizenship, private funding of election officials. I did not know that private funding of election officials is allowed in North Carolina. Did you know that?
What does that mean?
Well, remember Zuckerbucks?
Yes.
That's private funding of state agencies.
Oh.
But, well, in certain counties, he was allowed to mail out the absentee ballots?
He didn't mail them out. He gave them money.
He gave
so
them money, yeah.
They could afford to do it.
Yeah, but that was from private
millions.
Money, yes.
Yeah, he spent millions on it. Mm-hmm. They called them Zuckbucks or Zuckerbucks.
Yeah, he also funded registration drives that targeted Democrat areas. And just to throw this in, I was talking to somebody recently who had observed someone walking around with a clipboard registering voters and had actually seen the person tear up a voter registration form because it was not the party they were registering. That's illegal.
Was that reported to anybody?
I mentioned to the person that they needed to report that to the Board of Elections so that the group that was registering the voters would be told, no, you can't register voters anymore if you're tearing up voter registration.
Well, the person who filled out their registration has no idea they're not registered.
Well, that's why it's recommended that if you are a North Carolina voter, that you go to the Board of Elections online, and I don't remember the website, but it's pretty easy to find. Look up your registration and make sure you are registered, because a lot of people who filled out the registration forms might not have had the registration forms go where they should have gone.
There's also an encouragement that we hear to vote early in this election cycle so that we don't create some turmoil like Arizona had, where everybody was waiting until election day, and then all of a sudden the printers or the scanners weren't working in many of the election sites, and they didn't have enough forms or whatever else. So if you vote early, first off, if you go to vote early and you find you're not registered, you have time to register.
Last election, Trump wanted us to wait till election day. This election, he says, vote early.
Vote early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vote early.
So what else have you got?
And the other thing on voting early is, from the party perspective, and now we here are nonpartisan. However, I am partisan as an individual. So another thing that comes up, if you vote early, the partisan folks, the party, doesn't have to chase you down for your vote if we know that you have already voted.
Okay.
Right. Okay. I was given a list there of things the state did poorly on, and I stopped at private funding of election officials. And it goes on to add election litigation procedures, voter recourse, and election audits. Seems to me an audit would be an important thing to have. So it goes into several issues here. One of them, and this I did not know, and this is interesting, early voting sites. They're not supposed to be on college campuses. No. And yet, let's see, nearly 1 in 5 North Carolina early voting locations are located on college campuses, disproportionately favoring Democrats 55-23 and are in violation of state statute S163-227.6, which prohibits the use of early voting sites that disproportionately favor any party or candidate. A 2020 study showed that more than 20,000 faculty members found 48.4% were registered Democrats and only 5.7% were registered Republicans.
Mm.
And that is a self-fulfilling prophecy because, at least at ECU, and I imagine this is true at the rest of the colleges too, when the department wants to hire a new professor, they have a search committee. They put out the call for resumes. The resumes come in. The committee decides which ones to interview. The interviews come in. They make a presentation, and then the committee votes. And if there's one there that's acceptable, they'll choose that one. Well, if everybody on the committee is a Democrat or a liberal, they're going to hire another Democrat or a liberal. And while I was there teaching, the only place I saw any conservatives was where I was in the criminal justice department. And even so, they managed to hire a Marxist who was teaching juvenile justice.
Now, Pat, I want to go back to something that you said about voter ID laws. That is still in the courts.
As of now...
We have voter ID, and we certainly had voter ID during the primary. But there is no guarantee right now that we will have voter ID in November.
And that is why there's such a focus on the getting illegals registered to vote, to get the ballot to
yes.
vote absentee, not voting in person, because then you're not showing any type of ID.
Although I think you have to submit an ID with an absentee ballot.
You take
now.
A picture of it. Not that that can't be more manipulated, but you take a picture of it.
Which is interesting to me because in the actual precinct when they're doing the voting, we are not allowed to accept a photocopy of the license as identification. So that just strikes me totally bass-ackwards.
Did you know it's a misdemeanor to make a color copy of your driver's license?
No, why?
It just is.
Wow.
And likewise, don't make a color copy of a dollar bill either.
But we need to realize, as Glenn said, it's not about voters, it's about ballots.
Yep.
And I hate to say this, I don't like this, but there will be cheating in this election, and we need everybody to vote, and we also need everyone to understand that for every illegal vote that is cast, it cancels out the vote of a legal vote. And for that reason alone, we need to fight for election integrity.
And you know, when you talk about cheating, what we're going to really face is what's called creative voting, that we don't know where the votes are going to come from, where they will finally show up. Let's go to Venezuela. That during the day of voting, I guess the opposition was leading by 30-odd%.
They were doing exit polls, yes.
Exit polls, and they were leading by 30-odd%. And then overnight, all of a sudden, the votes flipped. And now
that
this
sounds familiar.
Yeah,
sounds
sure
familiar. Sounds like what we have heard before about the votes being manipulated.
In the middle of the night, all of a sudden it changes.
Yeah.
Or you get a water leak and you have to close down the polls.
Yep.
That's right. And cover the windows because of the water leak. That's right.
Yeah. While you're counting.
Do you know that the two women that pulled those cases out from under the table and were running the ballots through the machine repeatedly? And we've all seen it on video, that when they sued Giuliani, he was not allowed to use that video to defend himself in court. The judge kept him from doing it. So they have these humongous judgments against him, like $158 million. And he filed bankruptcy. The judge found that he wasn't keeping up on what he's supposed to do to maintain his bankruptcy, so he dismissed the bankruptcy and said he can't file it for another year, refile, which is not the law on bankruptcies. You can refile again as soon as you want, Chapter 13. And by dismissing the bankruptcy, it allows him to appeal the judgment against him, but it also allows them to go ahead and go after his assets to satisfy the judgment.
So it is possible that that evidence might be introduced in the appeal or not?
No, you don't get new evidence.
Oh.
But you do get to appeal the ruling
about the
that he couldn't use it.
That they couldn't use that evidence.
Yeah, because it may be an abuse of the judge's discretion.
Okay.
Are we waiting? Okay, so when we come back, I'll just mention another couple things from this North Carolina undemocratic election board article.
Okay. Folks, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is a CCTA Wake Up Call show. Thank you for staying with us.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back, and again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Pat, you wanted to continue with the voting?
Well, of course, there's the elephant in the room, voting by undocumented migrants, or what we used to call illegal aliens.
They're still illegal.
If those millions of illegals vote, then we can just hang up our Republican spurs, because we'll never have another Republican in office. I mean, when they show up at the border wearing a T-shirt that's got Biden's name on it, I don't think we're going to convert them to Republican voters anytime soon. It's illegal for them to vote. However, when you come, North Carolina is one of those states that gives illegals driver's licenses. If you have a driver's license, that means you went down to DMV. When you go to DMV and ask for a driver's license, they ask you if you want to be registered to vote through the Motor Voter Act, so they register you to vote.
Do they don't ask you, if you're a
they
citizen?
Don't ask, no, they don't ask you if you're a citizen.
No, they don't.
Oh.
No, they ask you.
They do ask you.
They ask you. They ask me.
If you were a citizen or if you wanted to register to
vote? If I wanted to register to vote.
Yeah. But do they ask you if you're a citizen?
No.
I don't think they're allowed to. I know in the school system they don't ask them if they're,
so
if they're legal.
So, you, and you, it is possible that as an illegal alien, you might not realize that you can't register to vote, and you might just do it because they asked you and you said yes. Why not?
But if they fill out the form, one of the first things they have to fill out is, I'm an American citizen.
Oh, okay.
But under the Motor Voter Act, there is no form. They do it. They just collect a box. The DMV lady does it.
Wow.
So you don't have to attest to anything. That's interesting.
And there was, I know that there was a history, and I'm not sure exactly where it started or where it stopped. There was a history of what party you got registered as based on the motor voter thing, whether you had the choice of party or somebody decided to choose a party for you. I know that, and again, I'm going back a number of years.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Because we know people that found out they were registered for one party and they were shocked because that was not what they intended.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Because they came to vote in a primary.
Because when I went to get my North Carolina license, she said, do you want me to register you to vote? And I said, I'm already registered. So it was null and void as far as I was concerned.
Okay.
Okay. The state has no citizen verification, nor does it run data comparisons between the statewide voter registration list, Social Security Administration death records, data comparisons between the state voter lists, state welfare and public assistance agencies to find information relevant to registration, such as address changes, death, citizen status, and does not use the Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlement, or SAVE, program to help identify non-citizens. When asked whether or not the board plans to rectify these omissions, it refused to answer.
Wow. So that means you can be a Republican, and you can die, and you could vote Democrat forever.
Well, again, they have that thing called E-Verify when you're signing up for a job.
Yeah, that's for employment, but it's not mandatory.
It's not mandatory, no.
So a lot of people don't use it.
And why would the legislature not make it mandatory?
Folks, now, are these the kind of data comparisons that you're talking about with Dave Getz?
Dave Getz? Well, I know that Dave has done a lot of background stuff on the data, the supposedly static data of the votes cast and the registrations and all that stuff. That data keeps changing on a daily basis,
and he also,
without any reasoning.
He also does the closest thing to an audit after the fact, after the
yes.
election, after the results are in, and some of the things that he'll come up with is undervotes and overvotes. And
yes.
At one point, there was such a discrepancy that he contacted the Board of Elections and legislators, and evidently they just removed the column so that he couldn't get the data anymore. They just removed the column from the spreadsheet.
He is a statistical.
Yeah.
He's a statistical analyst who was a cybersecurity guy in the Army, and he does a very good job, and he's done presentations before our legislature, but this is a hot potato that a lot of the legislature doesn't want to touch.
Now, I was going to say the undervote and overvote that we're talking about. So you have a single contest. Let's say it's for the president. And you might have three or four candidates. A voter can either vote for none of them, undervote, one of them, which is the proper voting, or vote for two, which therefore would invalidate their vote because we don't know which one to choose. That's an overvote. Likewise, when you come to a commissioners, like the county commissioners in Carteret County, I think are general, they're not, well, some of the areas, they're running not specific, but they're just vote for any three out of these five candidates. So if you voted for zero, one, two, or three candidates, if you voted for zero, that's undervote. One and two are also undervotes. And vote for three, you've got enough. If you voted for four, that's an overvote and invalidates that voting section. So hopefully I've added confusion.
And actually, the scanners, when they scan your ballot, will tell you, I don't know about the rest of the state, but in Craven County, will tell you if you have overvoted. They might tell you if you've undervoted. Undervoting.
It does.
And that if you undervote, your ballot is still going to count. So you have the option
of
fixing it or not. But if you've overvoted, your ballot is void. And then you have the choice of redoing it or just not voting.
But I don't know whether the whole ballot is void or just that one.
No,
no, they
what
do
happen-
the whole ballot. Gets,
yeah.
Gets.
What happens is a screen pops up that says what the it comes up as an error message, and you click vote it anyway or return. And if you get it returned, then you take it back to the judge's table. They void the ballot, and you are issued a new ballot.
And if you vote anyway, then that one office is excluded from the vote count.
Correct.
Okay.
And that happens a lot when people don't vote the whole ballot. A lot of times people don't vote the down ticket, the judges or school board people. They just vote the major races. So
Now that you mention that, the down ballot is where a lot of voters don't know the candidates and they have no idea. And the CCTA, along with the God and Country Christian Alliance, is working on a voter information place.
Questionnaire. Yep.
Questionnaire. It'll be on the CCTA website, and it'll be on the God and Country Christian Alliance website, which is a basic questionnaire given to all the candidates. I don't know at what level you start.
Well, right now, it's anything statewide or local. We're working on Carteret, Craven, and Onslow County. There's 160 candidates for, I believe it's 42 different offices.
But that vetting, because it is vetting, will be made available in those two places so that you just go there, you scroll down, find the candidates, and you can find out, okay, this is what they said about this. Now, we're assuming that they're giving you straight answers to the questions that you're asking.
And sometimes they give you an answer that you would expect them to give you. However, what's also telling is who doesn't answer. You know, you send it out to all of the candidates. If they don't bother to respond, that tells me something.
And also, if they give you an answer, as you say, that is just the answer that you expect, if they get elected, you have them on record as what they have said, and you can make a phone call or send an email that says, you know, gee, this is what you said while you were running. This is what you're doing now.
Well, that reminds me of a lot of Republicans who campaigned on pro-life for 25 years.
Yeah. And then when they had the opportunity, they...
Just don't go down that rabbit hole. All right. Let me finish this up. You mentioned audits. We have a lack of post-election recourse or audits. The state legislature has responsibility for state election laws, but does not have standing either by statute or state constitution to ensure compliance with election laws passed by the legislature.
So who does?
I don't know.
Nothing to see here, folks. Move on. Yeah, that's the way it sounds.
Further, any changes to the state's election laws via a court settlement does not require approval by the state legislature. Nothing is being done to ensure post-election recourse and audits by either the state legislature or private citizens. And then the last area that they looked at was unlimited absentee ballots. In North Carolina, there is no limit on the number of absentee ballots one individual can witness. Plus, the state does not have a signature comparison requirement. The state does not require the receipt of all ballots by the close of polls on election day, nor does it have procedures to investigate the validity of a registration when absentee ballots are returned as undeliverable by the post office.
I know what that's saying, but I am of the belief that they have to be there. The ballots have to be at the Board of Elections by close.
3 days.
No, that's what it was last time. But this time
it's
got to be there close. So I just don't know, and sounds like there's a lot of good information there, but that one I feel pretty confident.
I think they moved that up, that it has to be at the board before the close of election day.
Good, I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
That would be good news.
But I have a question about what it said about auditing after elections, because I know what, 7-8 years ago, we had a situation in an election where the candidate that won was then had a campaign manager that was accused of ballot harvesting, and they actually took the win away from him.
Yes.
So somebody did some kind of an audit at that point for that to have happened. He was actually in D.C. in his training, and they said, oh, by the way, we're taking it away from you.
Wasn't that the...
I can't remember.
Case where one of them asked for a recount?
No.
No, that was actual ballot harvesting, which is illegal in North Carolina.
Was it Harris?
I know, but what?
I don't remember. It's a representative.
Harris.
Yeah, it was
Mark
a representative.
It was a Republican, right?
Yes, it was.
I remember that. But wasn't it discovered when one of them asked for a recount? You can ask for a recount.
Yes, you can.
One asked for a recount, and then this was discovered?
I don't remember. Vague on that.
Our fuzzy memories, yeah.
But I just remember that somebody went to jail over it.
Yes.
And it had to do with illegal ballot harvesting.
Yes.
And there are audits done. I've witnessed audits at Craven County.
But they are pre-election, right?
And no, they're post-election. There's random selection of 3 polling places, and a hand count is done to compare against the machine.
Well, to be fair to the what's her name?
Susan Williams.
She gave us a briefing one time at the GOP headquarters on election procedures. And I'm not sure that all of this comports with what she told us. So I think it might be useful to have her come and ask her those questions.
Yes, we need to do that.
Folks, on that point, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is a CCTA Wake Up Call show.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Stop in at East 70 Point for great deals. Drew and his knowledgeable staff have been serving the New Bern area since 1989. We always try to help our customers with friendly and honest service. Our crew is what sets us apart. Treating folks like how we want to be treated is our standard. People appreciate great service plus great prices, and that's what we're all about. Our shop is like no other. We specialize in guns, jewelry, and ammo, but we have so much more. We have the largest selection of new and used firearms, coins, collectibles, musical instruments, and tools. Our new jewelry selection is growing daily. Find us at 3317 Highway 70 East of New Bern. We're open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, check out our website for many, many collectibles, east70pawn.com. East 70 Pawn is your one-stop shop to buy, sell, trade, or cash loans quickly, conveniently, and confidentially.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. This is a CCTA wake-up call. Mary, where do you want to go?
I want to talk about the opening ceremony of the Olympics and the claims that it was not a mockery of the Last Supper.
Well, who are you going to believe?
Well, it's interesting that the name of the presentation, and I don't speak French, so I'm not even going to try, but it translates as the Last Supper on a stage on the Seine. So I don't know what Last Supper they think they weren't talking about, but that's what they named it. It was inappropriate, indecent, and not fit for children under 12. And somebody commented, I had posted something on Facebook, and somebody commented that he was watching the opening ceremony with his young kids, and he lasted a few seconds and turned it off because he didn't think they needed to see this.
I don't watch the Summer Olympics, so I didn't see it until after it ran. I saw a picture of it, and obviously it's the Last Supper.
And why?
There's no doubt that that's a mockery of Da Vinci's Last Supper.
Why do you need drag queens in the opening ceremony? What percentage of the population is drag queens? Why do they have to be represented? They need to be respected as people. Please don't get all upset about that.
Well, why has Kamala Harris gone on RuPaul's Drag Race?
I don't know.
To start her campaign.
I have no idea. But
because if you make somebody a victim and you're going to act as a victim's champion, you're just pandering for votes.
Well, of course she was pandering for votes.
But the only thing I want to say about that is I think mocking Christianity is wrong, and you can mock other religions and be killed for it, i.e.
Muslims.
But I don't agree with the approach of not watching the Olympics, because I want to support our country's American athletes who have worked their whole lives to get to this place, and they were not the ones that were mocking Christianity. So I'm going to watch my American team and support them and clap for them. Now, if they kneel when they're doing the flag, then I might have a different opinion. But
well, the Olympics should celebrate excellence, because this is the cream of the crop of everybody's athlete. And as you said, Kim, they've worked their whole, these athletes probably started training when they were 7 years old, particularly the gymnasts. They may have started when they were five. And they have been pursuing this goal their whole life. And for France to do this is just almost a slap in the face to those who have worked. Now, again,
it's like peeing in the pool. People say, if you don't like abortion, don't have one. If you don't like gay marriage, don't get married, whatever. But the point is that the point of civilization is to have standards.
Yes.
And when you don't judge and you let anything go, then you are debauching your standards. And pretty soon, what do you have? What kind of civilization do you have? So every time you let something like this go and you refuse to judge it, number one, you've refused to give moral support to anybody else that is opposed to it, shocked, upset, offended. You don't stand behind your Christian principles. You evade the issue. And
Pat, along with what you're saying, now, where will you let your standards lax? Where will you let them be lax? I mean, I might have certain standards for the way that I dress as an individual, but I may have no standards as how I act in front of other people. Where do your standards? You mentioned here this, we're bringing people together for the Olympics because they're playing by a certain set of rules, the standards or whatever else. Why don't we have that same set of standards for the introduction to it and whatever else?
Well, the thing,
culture and countries is different. But one thing I want to draw attention to is on the flip side of the anti-Christian message, there has been a very Christian message from some of the athletes.
Yes.
If you watch the athletes, you know, I watched some of the swimming and all of the gymnastics so far, and you see the athletes with a cross, with a crucifix necklace, they'll kiss their necklace or they'll point towards the heavens. Or I've seen several of the Hail Mary signs. So I think that at the same time that Christianity is being mocked, I praise the people that are acknowledging.
And the irony is that the Olympic rules say you cannot proselytize your religion, but nothing says that you can't ridicule or cajole.
The other part of that is evidently within a day or two, I don't know the exact timing, there was a whole group of people in Paris that held a prayer meeting.
Awesome.
To, you know, almost, I don't want to say counteract, but to praise God in the face of what happened. And I also want to point out that, Christianity is one of the foundations. Judeo-Christianity is one of the foundations of Western civilization. So when you tear down one leg of the three-legged stool of Western culture, the other legs being the family and your basic code of morality, and there's probably another one in there somewhere, but again, you are tearing at the fabric of Western civilization. Is that really what you want to do? And certainly that is not the purpose of the Olympics.
That's what the left wants to do.
Yes.
They want to ban Christianity, mock it, remove it from public life,
mm-hmm.
destroy the family.
Yes.
Destroy faith.
Destroy standards.
And,
morals. No moral compass.
No moral compass.
They are.
Well, if you read, again, if you go back and read the Communist Manifesto and the things that they want to do to create communism, which eventually would translate in a movement toward one world government, you know, they're kind of right on track for what they're doing. You know, they're working hard. Okay.
I want a segue.
Okay.
Usually when Trump comes on, when he's doing a rally,
mm-hmm.
and when he did the convention, he either comes out to the
proud to be an American,
or the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Kamala Harris had a rally the other day, and who is it? What's her name? Something the Stallion. was there to open. And it's funny because as soon as she finished singing, everybody left.
Oh, I heard that.
They weren't there to hear. But they did one of the Stallions' songs to open it. And here's a excerpt from the song she sang. I'd rather be a bitch, because that's what you gon' call me when I'm tripping anyway. You know you can't control me, baby. You need a real one in your life. Them bitches ain't gon' give it to you right.
Oh.
Now, which country would you like to live in? The one that says that this is how you ought to open, you know, something that's serious, a political rally before a national election is a serious event. Or do you want to hear the national anthem?
Or proud to be an American.
Or proud to be an American.
Again, the downgrading of the culture by the Democrat Party is sad.
Well, let's, now you want to segue, so I'm going to segue too.
Okay.
So George Orwell was only off by 40 years, okay, in his book 1984, because we now look at along with what you're saying, is it Princess Kamala, or was it, has she been elevated to a princess? I'm not sure. But what we've seen now is the remaking of Kamala Harris, the vice president that was the border czar?
Yes.
That's no longer the border czar and, quote, never was the border czar and has never done this and has never done that. And like I said, in 1984, there was all something called Newspeak, where you constantly redefine definitions of what happened or you remove images of people and what they may have done.
And now they're even going so far as they're rewriting headlines on newspaper articles that were published years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The historic headlines are now changing.
That were related to her being the border czar. And Axios was one of the sources that had changed things. And they had a reporter on the radio yesterday who was denying that that had happened.
Well, there's a video out of her saying that she would end fracking on day one.
And that 24-year-olds are stupid.
And now she's saying that she won't end fracking. And she was saying anybody involved in the fossil fuel industry needs to find another job. Now she's denying that. So, you know, it's the problem for her there is Pennsylvania.
I'm going to segue.
Well, you better be quick.
I'm going to be quick. You ask if she was Princess Kamala? No, she's General Kamala.
General Kamala.
Oh, yes.
When she was the Attorney General in California, when she came in the morning, her staff was required to stand up and say, "Good morning, General."
Oh,
I
misspoke.
Didn't know that.
I misspoke.
And the lower level civil servants were not allowed to look her in the eye.
Right.
That was one of her requirements.
Or address her.
Directly address her. That's correct. This is a lady who has delusions of her own importance.
Barbie takes on new importance.
Well, redefining her, I think our best defense against her would just be to air video of her talking instead of somebody reading.
Yes.
Because if you hit out of the horse's mouth.
Yes.
And I use that word loosely.
Folks, we're going to take another quick break before we get into more trouble. This is the CCTA Wake Up Call Show.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
God and Country Christian Alliance's 31st Annual God and Country Banquet is scheduled for Monday, September 16th at the Havelock Tourist and Event Center. Our keynote speaker is Mr. John Rustett of North Carolina Family Policy Council. Tickets are $30 each or $225 for a table of eight. Sponsorships are also available. Visit our website, godandcountrync.org, to purchase tickets. God and Country Christian Alliance's mission is to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern, to restore to all levels of government the Judeo-Christian values upon which the nation was founded, and to encourage and activate pro-family voters. To learn more about us, visit godandcountrync.org. We look forward to seeing you on September 16th. This year, we also have a silent auction. The doors will open at 5:30 p.m., with the program starting promptly at 6:30 p.m. Check us out at godandcountrync.org.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, just people in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Kim, you're bringing up a different topic.
Well, I got a little bug up my bum about the new weird word that is all over the media now about how Trump and J.D. Vance are weird and how their campaign is weird and there's just something weird about everything they do. And it's like the talking point that went out over the left-wing media. Every single station has it. Every commentator's talking about it. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what their definition of weird is, because I think two men dressing as women in the military, I think that's weird. But I also think that I'm weird. And everybody has whatever little idiosyncrasies. I want to know what it is that they're targeting about him that makes him, quote, weird. What is he doing that is odd that they would categorize as weird? They're not attacking so much his looks or his personality. So it's got to be something he's doing that is making him, quote, weird.
They are attacking his looks. They've accused him of wearing eyeliner.
But, you know, weird, Kim, as you're saying, though, weird takes on a slightly different perspective. As long as they can say you're weird, meaning you're outside of their mainstream. Now, remember, here we are, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. Does anybody remember us being called tea baggers?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that was a derogatory statement at us.
It's gay porn.
Yeah, so
you know what it means?
Yeah, no, yeah, let's not go there.
We won't go that far. No, but in this perspective, they want weird. They want him to be weird when he's outside of the mainstream because he's not part of their social circle, which is suitcase stealer and the
Sam Brenton.
Yeah.
But if you attack him as being weird, you don't have to deal with his policies.
Well, that's where I was headed. You guys are making my case. Because what they're saying is weird is conservative Christian values. So I was carrying it back to his moral compass, his moral fiber. If you look where he started his career in the military, compare that with where General Kamala started her career and how she got in her positions of power via Willie Brown, and we don't need to go into that rabbit hole, but anybody can Google that and find out anything they want to know. If you want to compare character and accomplishment, I would venture to say that J.D. Vance has a much more impressive record than the general.
Well, he is an American dream story. He started out in a family that put the D in dysfunctional, to say the least. And one thing that I loved at the convention, he talked about the fact that his mother has been clean and sober for 10 years, and that is fantastic. But again, he went into the Marine Corps, used the GI Bill to get his undergraduate degree, and then got accepted at Yale. No. That's amazing. And the other thing that I think needs to be mentioned, one of the things he said at one point, and I don't remember whether it was after college or after the Marines, he said, I can't go back to my hometown because I don't think like that anymore. And I think it was the Marines, that he said, that taught him to overcome. And that's where the military really does some good things.
So now you're talking about J.D. Vance overcoming his background and his upbringing. And here we hear the opposite from General Kamala, because she says, oh, I grew up in this poverty. Well, her father was a Stanford professor. Mm-hmm. Her mother had, I don't remember.
She was a biologist doing research.
Biologist research. And she grew up in an affluent neighborhood.
In Canada.
And in California.
And has now declared that she grew up in poverty. And as a black person, and by the way, folks, she's never been black. Sorry, but I'm going to be honest. She's never been black.
That's what her father says.
Her father?
That she hasn't been black. He says, we're not black.
So they're from Jamaica and Jamaica and India, correct?
And India. Yes.
Jamaica and India, yeah. And so she has put on the new personality, and J.D. Vance has created his successful personality.
Well, she accused him of being disloyal, and he popped off about that. What have you done to prove your loyalty to this country? As far as this weirdness goes, MSNBC contributor Molly Young Fast says J.D. Vance only wants white children in America, never mind the fact that he has three biracial children of his own. They just can't help themselves.
The accusations don't have any basis in reality.
Well,
the feeling is that people will hear them and not investigate them.
We were listening to the radio on the drive here, Mary, and there is some speech or an article that was being referred to that has the cat lady stuff, and I guess there are quotes in there that they have taken out. You know, they've cherry picked lines to portray him as a misogynist, and the woman needs to stay home and be barefoot and pregnant kind of thing. And I haven't read the article myself, but I intend to, just so that I'm educated on what it is that they're saying. But I wanted to go back to what Pat was alluding to earlier with it's the Christian conservative values that's being attacked as weird. So I'm telling all of our listeners that maybe we should all go online and say we're weird.
Well, they're calling all Republicans weird.
Well, then they're calling all the Christians weird as well, is my point. So
yeah, we're all weird.
So I'm just saying,
and creepy.
I'm just saying that we need to stand for the moral compass of the country, and I would really like people to fight the issues and instead of people's personalities.
Yes.
Don't forget that Rush Limbaugh, may his name live
yes,
in history, said that the left will tell you who they fear.
Yes, that's true. And I think I personally think J.D. Vance was a perfect choice for VP. I heard him speak last night. He was at a rally last night. He is common sense, and he is not the... There are some traits about Trump that are unsettling, I'll put it that way. And J.D. is much more... I think he's a much more comfortable speaker for most Americans than Donald Trump is.
Well, he doesn't have the baggage that Trump has. I mean, we've talked about Trump in the past, and as a person, he has a lot of baggage, and he was a philanderer with women and married and divorced and fooling around and who all knows what else. But I liked his policy for the country.
Yes.
And by the way, he was a New Yorker.
Well, so. I was going to say, J.D. Vance is not from Queens.
That's right.
And that makes a big difference.
It that does. That's a whole, yes.
He's from Ohio.
Full disclosure, I grew up 40 feet from Queens. So.
And it's a distinct trait.
It is a character trait.
Chris Christie has that same character.
And that's New Jersey, yeah.
But people didn't seem to attack him for his personality like they did Trump.
Well, he didn't have some of the...
other baggage.
Yeah, well, he wasn't rich enough to have the other baggage.
Yeah. Find themselves to fat jokes.
Yeah, that's true.
The phrase is chutzpah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. But, yes, that's a very good point.
Showmanship.
Now, I want to, real quick... I want to talk about the hearings on the assassination attempt on President Trump and the fact that the panel didn't include the two legislators who were snipers in the past.
Who picks that panel?
Mike Johnson.
Mike Johnson picked the Republican panel. It's all Republicans. That's his panel. That's for the House. Okay.
Well, there's a House member, and I don't have it off the top of my head, who's going to form his own panel. I don't remember who it was.
The sniper, the two guys that you're referring to that should be on the panel but aren't, are doing their own parallel investigation.
Which is smart. I'm sorry. I have learned not to expect a whole lot out of the House Republicans.
Well, we've got the Fox guarding the hen house as well. We've got the FBI investigating the FBI.
Yeah.
It's all corrupt.
Well, I saw a video this morning. It was Ted Cruz confronting the guy that took Cheadle's place.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, who made the decision to give Trump less protection than Jill? And who made the decision to turn down his repeated request for more security? And he wouldn't answer him. He kept saying, well, there's a process. He said, what's the name of the person? And he couldn't tell him, or he wouldn't tell him.
Wouldn't tell him, yeah.
Yeah, there have been accusations that he was the person. So we don't know that. But, and again, it won't come out in the regular investigation, but it might come out in the other investigation.
By the way, the GOP Congressman Corey Mills and another one, Eli Crane, I believe were both prior snipers.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I picked up on just a news clip that replacement Secret Service person, his text got erased as part of the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that just an incredible...
Well, Cruz asked him this morning, he said, here's a tweet that your office sent out that said that what the Washington Post reported, that that there were less agents. Is that true? And he says, no. Didn't your office send this out? Well, I'm not sure who sent it out.
Well, not only sending that out, you know, the agents that were there, I believe, were third tier agents. So
yes, as much they as, sent the L team.
we've been the L team, by the way.
Hey, I have a little blurb here. Lloyd Austin, who's our Secretary of Defense, has ordered a review of 20 medals for wounded knee medals.
Oh.
They're going to look to see if those guys should have gotten a Medal of Honor at Wounded Knee.
Wounded
so this
knee.
Is, you know, the whole world's falling apart. It's all on fire, and they're worried about Wounded Knee.
The light's better over there. So, yeah, let's go. And folks, we're going to wrap up the show now. But, again, we want to ask you to remember to join us on August 20th at Stanley Hall Ballroom. CCTA will be hosting Sheriff Chip Hughes, will be our guest speaker. Again, August 20th, Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern, 7 p.m. And we'd like to see you there. And we hope that you have a great week. This, again, is a CCTA wake-up call show. If you have anything that you want thrown in here into the mix, please send us something at bob@cctaxpayers.com or mary@cctaxpayers.com. We'll try to get it on the air. Have a wonderful week.